All right. Welcome to the Cypher Podcast. This podcast covers cybersecurity news, trends, and concepts. My name is Bill Bowman, and I'm the marketing director for Cypher in North America. The topic for today's episode is zero trust cybersecurity. So joining me today is Kristen Gandhi. Kristen is the chief product officer at AppGuard. AppGuard protects organizations from cyber attacks by disrupting malware from causing harm. And Kristen joins us from New York City. Kristen, how are you doing today?
Nice to speak with you, Bill. We're doing well.
Great. So can you tell me a little bit about yourself? How did you find yourself at AppGuard? And what is it you do at the company?
Well, I've had almost every job there is to have in IT. I started off in the help desk in college and kind of worked my way up, ran implementations for a large managed service provider for a while, worked on a couple of artificial intelligence startups. And I was speaking to an old friend of mine who said, you know, I'm working with this really interesting group of people at AppGuard. They're a cybersecurity company. I really think you should talk to them. So I met him, my friend, for a casual lunch, and my colleague Tetsu went through the basis of the technology, which really described in about 3 minutes a completely different approach to cybersecurity on an endpoint, which is based on zero trust principles. And after I was finished hearing his spiel and describing kind of how our software works, the first thing I thought was, it really just can't be this simple.
Right.
And I kept prodding and prodding and prodding. And I think that's the magic of the organization that I work with right now. I've worked with several startups in my life, and you walk in, and what it is the marketing looks perfect. The PowerPoints are always polished, but then when you get to the guts of the technology, it's not there. This organization was completely the opposite direction. We didn't have a huge marketing budget. We didn't have, the pretty stuff on the outside, but at the guts of it, this was some really, really interesting technology. And I knew immediately after meeting Brody and the rest of the AppGuard team that I just had to be a part of it.
That's great to hear. So it had the product came first in the development with AppGuard, it seems.
Yeah. And, why product? Well, I am kind of the original target audience, right? Our software is designed to protect endpoints, but it also has to work with people. So in your day-to-day life, security is only going to work if you can live with it. And I think my whole background, working with managed service provider, working in IT myself, I really understood our customers in a way that I think a lot of folks didn't quite have all of that experience. And I just thought it would, when they said, well, where would you want to focus? I said, well, if I want to do anything, please help me guide this product to a place where it can really explode in the enterprise market. So I've loved the team. I love working with everybody at AppGuard, and it's really exciting.
So it's interesting that looking at what the actual end customer is doing on a daily basis, kind of seeing what they're doing rather than just coming from it from a pure, solution provider perspective, thinking what they're doing. But AppGuard, you mentioned that they really had some experience looking at what the actually doing in reality. So how did AppGuard get that understanding of what the end user was doing and what actions they were taking?
Well, I mean, what our software is intended to do is instead of allowing people to do whatever they want, or allowing programs rather to do whatever they want, our software allows programs to do what it needs to do, so that everyone's everyday life is kind of unchanged. But in order for that to work, the your daily operations of, you know, whether it's checking your email, working on a document, what all of the typical users have to do, that has to work. But the other thing that has to work is the IT administration team and anyone that's involved in delivering security to the endpoint or delivering the service of technology to the business also needs to be able to work with the product. And I think that's what that's where people start to get a little bit afraid of anything to do with zero trust. If you look at products on the market for zero trust have been available on a network layer for quite some time now. You'll read some guidelines from NIST about adopting a zero trust kind of approach. But everyone gets nervous and says, oh my gosh, everything is going to get blocked. Nothing I want to do is going to work. I'm just going to keep running into roadblocks. So that's really where AppGuard's approach is quite unique in that we apply those zero trust principles, but in a way that you can live with it on an everyday basis. And most of your daily activities really doesn't change at all.
Yeah, that's interesting to hear the different ways people think about zero trust. How do you define, you know, zero trust? What are the core concepts? It's one of those marketing words, cybersecurity words that have come into the forefront recently, right?
I mean, there's always something. I mean, when I was a little earlier in my career, everything was in the cloud, right?
And it's big cloud.
It's a VMware sitting somewhere, right? It was, so now in cybersecurity, you keep hearing about this idea of zero trust, and it really just comes down to this: are you going to fail close or are you going to fail open? And zero trust generally takes that fail close kind of approach. In other words, the way most traditional endpoint security works is a file arrives on your system or some action is happening and it will look at it. And if it knows it to be bad or it has some vote in it that says this is probably bad with a very high degree of confidence, it will shut it down. A zero trust approach does it differently. Instead of saying, are you bad? And then I'm going to shut you down. Zero trust says, unless I know you're good, I'm going to shut you down. And that's where some of that pain and worry come in. A lot of organizations, if you look at some of the other zero trust kind of solutions in the market, a lot of them will be on a network layer. In other words, saying device A is supposed to talk to device B on this port, and that's about it. I mean, that's basically what a firewall is, right?
Right.
But at the same time on the endpoint, how was that happening? Well, you've probably seen, you know, traditional like allow list, deny list type of solutions out there. And what they would do is they'd take a snapshot of the whole system. You know, I'm gonna just take a snapshot. Everything that's here is good, everything new is bad, and there's my zero trust on my endpoint. Wow, what an administrative headache. And that's why, taking a little bit of a different approach, I think makes a big difference. So AppGuard looks at zero trust a little bit differently. It's not whether or not something's here and whether it changed, it's where is the ultimate source of the data coming from? If you're using a web browser, you're interacting with untrusted data. That's exactly what a web browser is designed to do. You're downloading things, you're putting things in your home directory, you're interacting with untrusted data. Same thing with Microsoft Office. Someone emails you a Word doc, you open it up. Someone emails you a PDF, you open it up. All of these things are things that are emanating from somewhere outside the system. So it doesn't really matter whether or not the file changed or not. The operating system gets patched all the time. You shouldn't need to rework everything that you're doing just because Microsoft came out with a patch to Windows or you installed a new package off of your Yum repo. instead, it's AppGuard's approach is, where are those files? What data are you interacting with? And if you're interacting with data that has come from somewhere outside of the endpoint, AppGuard's going to look at that with a more zero trust approach. And that is where things become really a lot simpler. Instead of having to take a snapshot of everything, what we'll do is we just say, look, are you mucking around with stuff in that untrusted area? And if you are, we're just going to apply some bumpers on the side. I like to think of it like going to a bowling lane.
Yeah, like you're bowling, keeping people in the lane, right?
Right. Everyone has their own lane. And when you're like my six-year-old and you take them to their first bowling match, my kid is probably liable to throw it in a way that
gets those bumpers up, right?
So what do? They put the little bumpers up for the little kids so that when you roll the bowling ball down the alley, even if it bumps into the sides, ultimately it will hit the pins on the other end. That's really what AppGuard does. We keep those applications in their lanes so that they all do what they need to do. The bowling ball can go and hit the pins, and it's not hopping off into the lane next to you and messing up your operating system or allowing malware to take hold.
So it's a little bit a different kind of a classification of what entities are trusted. It's not a list of this that has to be constantly updated. It's more of a different way of looking at things.
It's a different way of looking at things, and it simplifies the administration quite a bit. Instead of having to have very, very low level rules about every single thing, you know, let's just make it a little bit more simple so that this is something that an IT administrator can roughly do. And so when you're setting up our product, instead of saying, you know, do I want this to work? Do I not want that to work? It's really about what types of things do I want my end users to be able to bring into their system without working with IT. So it can be a compliance tool, but it also can be an enablement tool as well, because you have that confidence, because our software is there protecting you, you can do things like go to a website that might be a little iffy, if you will, and you know, rest assured that if something does get on your system and it does even try to run, that those bumpers are gonna be there and your system is gonna be safe.
That's good to hear. So, do you have any examples of, you know, common reasons people use AppGuard, common types of, you know, attacks that the solution stops, or zero trust principles in general stops, I guess, AppGuard in particular? Everything?
Well, you could say everything, but that's so trite, right? So let's talk a little bit about how attacks are happening more and more these days.
Okay,
everyone has heard about ransomware.
Oh, yes.
Everyone has heard of the kind of recent attacks with supply chain style attacks with SolarWinds, with Colonial Pipeline and all of that. So what's the difference? Well, a few years ago, what were people trying to do? You get a virus on your computer, it slows down your computer, it annoys the crap out of you. You have to bring the server offline and you get rid of the virus. The worst thing that would happen is somebody would change the website of a bank or something and scare everyone. But now with ransomware on the rise, it's smaller institutions. It's not just, you know, Experian, for example. It's also, and nothing to say about that particular organization, just, it's not just large companies. It's
right.
The dental office. It's, your doctor down the street that's part of a little bit of a larger conglomerate. It's a school system. These are the organizations that have important, critical data, but don't have an enterprise security posture or practice by their very nature. You know, they're smaller organizations. They, they, they're not the sort of folks that are going to have a giant SOC that can stare at an EDR platform all day, or 24/7 monitoring from a managed service. But more and more, because of these ransomware type of attacks, these smaller and medium-sized organizations are having to grow up real fast. And when you, and 90% of the time, the way that these guys get in, they're not giving you a virus. You're not going to, you're not getting an attachment that's necessarily weaponized. It starts simple. You go somewhere, they entice you to put in your credentials. Someone gets legitimate credentials. And then they get onto your system. You might have seen that was John Oliver a week or two ago did a whole expose about ransomware. And you know, one of the things that he said was, you know, you should use two-factor authentication and complex passwords. And that makes a lot of sense. Why? Because, well, what happens is that people, you know, someone will get legitimate credentials, will get a foothold somewhere on the system. Now, they're not doing anything out untoward. They're just a normal user coming onto a system. That in and of itself, you know, most systems aren't going to stop that. Maybe your intrusion detection system is. That's why you need a defense in depth. But in and of itself, a session starting, not necessarily anything to worry about.
Yeah, wouldn't raise the red flags immediately when that happens.
Exactly. But then what happens is that the attacker is going to use what he's got right in front of him, or her for that matter. Woman in cybersecurity, it's rare enough I should use my own pronouns. what she's going to do is use what's right in front of you. And what's right in front of you is all sorts of living off the land binaries, things that can be used to attack the system or to download a payload or something like that. And that's where AppGuard is so strong. Because even if you're a regular, normal user and you come onto the system, even if you're super user credentials and you come onto the system, AppGuard's still going to put up those bumpers when you start to use those types of applications that interact with untrusted data. So all of the utilities that an attacker will typically need will be constrained. You won't be able to write files in certain places. You won't be able to download things. You won't be able to move things around. And what that turns into is, we're able to stop a lot of that ransomware in a completely different way than many of the other solutions on the market.
Because you're looking at the user, even not from the outside threat, but the inside threat, right? Or people who've gotten inside. So it's the sides of the spectrum.
Yeah, people are already on your system, and you in other words, why are you trusting that user Joe is okay to run a risky utility? Make sure Joe can do his work, and that's about it. And that's really what zero trust is all about. It's about giving people the rights they need and giving your applications the right thing they need, but not the ones that they don't. So our software was, we were really excited that some of our customers unfortunately were targeted in some of these high profile ransomware attacks, but our software was able to block it. Not because we had any idea that it was, that an attack was really happening, but because in order to get command and control of a system, you've got to take steps that trigger those bumpers to come into play.
It's great to hear. Stopping the attacks. That's the goal behind all that.
Right. And, you know, that's the thing. I mean, a lot of ways that people in the early programs in the early days, the way you would stop ransomware, and still a lot of them do, is they'll basically put a honeypot out and they'll wait for something to get encrypted and they'll say, oh my God. And then immediately quarantine the entire machine and basically put a hold on it. Well, by the time that happens, stuff is already encrypted. there's got to be another way. And if some of those attacks are coming from a supply chain style attack, so Kaseya or SolarWinds tools that your IT team are relying on at each and every day.
Yeah.
You can't try to looking at Kaseya and saying, is that bad? It's not bad. They're very reputable software organization with a lot of wonderful employees that work their tushy off, so yeah. to speak. So it's not about saying that you trust any particular application. It's about making sure that applications are acting the way that they're supposed to and not running, jumping out of their swim lane or jumping out of their bowling lane.
Keep it in the bowling lane. So do you have any tips for listeners beyond working with AppGuard to start protecting their endpoints and their environment more effectively? You mentioned two-factor authentication. Anything people can start employing in their organizations today?
Sure. So, AppGuard is a great tool because we offer that kind of enterprise grade protection, and it can be applied to organizations of both large and small. But any kind of attack surface reduction technology is going to be a good step in the right direction. Making sure that you rotate your passwords. Don't type your passwords in on any websites. Follow all of your standard cyber awareness training. But I think the biggest thing that that I would recommend to organizations, kind of as we're looking forward and as ransomware continues to evolve and attacks continue to evolve, it's have a strategy around security that really looks at risk and applies a variety of techniques in order to minimize that risk. Instead of trying to say everything is going to be perfect, I can assure you it is not. there is no way that you're going to have the perfect defense. I'm sitting here, like, I'm sure my CEO wouldn't like me saying this, but let's be real. It doesn't matter how many defenses you put up. If someone really wants to break in, they will get there. The important part is having a defense in depth strategy around risk that will buy you time. So our software will help buy you time. You add in, if you're a large enterprise, you can add in an EDR system. Now, because AppGuard's protecting you, you have a little bit more time for your EDR system to catch up and notice some things. Then you take your EDR system and you add in your IDS, you add in your network layer, and you can just move yourself up the chain. A risk-based approach that employs a variety of techniques is the best thing that an organization can do to prepare themselves. And adding a proactive solution like AppGuard, reducing your attack surface, employing some application control technologies is something that traditionally hasn't been on the menu. But I think more and more we're going to see organizations realize that this is a critical component of any good cyber strategy.
Okay, so you cover defense in depth in order to reduce the risk to an organization. Any final thoughts, Kristen?
Yeah, sure. I mean, we've got over 6,000 customers, and we started with the U.S. government and intelligence. And to really drive home a defense in depth strategy and adopt one, you need a good partner. And AppGuard's one part of it, but an important part of it, but only one part of it. And having a partner like Cypher or another trusted managed service provider with the level of kind of reputation in the industry to help kind of guide you through and find that right combination that works for your organization, I think is probably the most important thing that you can do.
Great, great. Some excellent points. So I want to thank you for your time and thank everyone for listening. This has been very informative. More information on AppGuard can be found at appguard.us. For any of our listeners who are interested in Cypher's services, which include managed security services, please reach out to us at marketing@cypher.com. Thanks.